Today's shir is Masechta Beya Daf Lamed Ches, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Umi Yisrael Rav Yochanan Breira. Does Rav Yochanan accept the concept of Breira? As the Gemara had said at the end of the previous shir, that we have to learn that Rav Oshia doesn't subscribe to the concept of Breira, and Rav Yochanan does. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the case? For Amarav Avsi, Amarav Yochanan, Hachin Shechalku Lukuchesheim. If brothers divide an estate, an inheritance that they receive from the father, we view them as people who have purchased one from the other, that the halach is that when items, when property are purchased in Eretz Yisrael, we know that it goes back in Yovel. That since they're considered as a buyer and seller relationship, and the halach is the property that's bought and sold goes back to its original owner in Yovel. Explain. So what the Gemara is saying is that if Rabbi Yochanan would subscribe to the concept of Breira, so when we have two brothers dividing up their father's estate, Breira tells us that retroactively we could establish that what each brother received as his portion was his portion from the beginning. If it was his portion from the beginning, it would not be affected by Yovel. The fact that he views it, that they are considered as if they purchased from each other in accomplishing this division, it must be because he doesn't subscribe to Breira. V'chi teima, so the Gemara wants to say, chiles l'Rabbi Yochanan Breira, but the Raisa, that only by the concept of Yerusha, of Yovel, which is a deraisa the concept, there Rabbi Yochanan will not hold the concept of Breira. Abu Drabonin, when we're dealing with a Drabonin, Islay Breira. Asks the Rajba, if according to Rabbi Yochanan, when brothers divide an estate that they receive from their father, it's considered as if they are just purchasers, and that's why it goes back to the estate at Yovel, and they have to redivide it. Says the Rajba, there are two types of ownership mentioned in Shas. There's something called a Kinyan Haguf, and there's something called Kinyan Peiris. Kinyan Haguf means when the person has an actual ownership in the property under question. Kinyan Peiris means that he only has rights to eat from the yield of the property, but the actual property is not his. Says the Rajba, given the fact that this property that I received as my share of the estate is something that I will have to give back by Yovel, that means I only have a Kinyan Peiris in it. I don't have a full-fledged ownership, because I'm going to ultimately have to return it. The halacha, says the Rajba, is Kinyan Peiris, that if I only have that lesser type of ownership in a property, lafki Kinyan Haguf on me, it's not considered like I'm a full-fledged owner. The halacha is that the first fruits that ripen from the Shivas Haminim in Eretz Yisrael have to be brought as Bikurim. But Bikurim is only brought from property, from land which I own. Ask the Rajba, if according to Rabbi Yochanan, brothers who divide estates are only kilikuchas, that means they only have a Kinyan Peiris. And all of Eretz Yisrael was ultimately divided that way, because the people who originally came to Eretz Yisrael did not live forever. So how could Bikurim ever be brought, asked the Rajba, if everybody only has a Kinyan Peiris, because the brothers who divide estates are only kilikuchas? Says the Rajba, that even if we'll say that, like Rabbi Yochanan, that somebody who gets a share in his estate that he inherited from his father is only kilikuchas, it's not considered a full-fledged ownership, he has to return this property in Yovel, it's not just a regular business transaction. It certainly, says the Rajba, a higher level of ownership than just somebody who has a lease, a Kinyan Peiris, and that's why that property, the fruit grown in that property, will be subject to Hilchas Bikurim. So the Gemara wants to say, Reb Yochanan doesn't subscribe to Breyer by the Raisa, but by Drabonin he does. Ask the Gemara, Uba Drabonin Yislei, does Reb Yochanan subscribe to Breyer? And by Drabonin, we know, as we discussed in the Mishnah, and we'll discuss, there's Halacha of Tchum on Shabbos, Yontif. One only has 2,000 amos from his city where he can walk. However, as we have explained, if a person puts an Erif to one direction, what that accomplishes is he gets another 2,000 amos in that direction. So let's say somebody wants to walk to the east side, I put down an Erif, and as long as the Erif is there, Ben Ashmoshes, he's kind of Shvisa, that becomes the place of his residence, Ben Ashmoshes, and the 2,000 amos are measured from the Erif, not from the city boundary. However, of course, what that does is that on the other direction, if you put the Erev to the east side, then to the west side, he will not be able to walk at all, because whatever you gain to one side, you don't get to the other side. The Mishnah Masechta Erevin discusses a situation where there was a Talmud Chacham coming to the city, and it's not sure to which side he's coming. Tani Aya. Aya taught a Bryce. Yudaimer, ain't other mass no shneid varm kechad. A person can't make Erev to two sides at the same time. Ella, and bach kochem lemizrach. A person could put down an Erev, says the Mishnah, to the east side and to the west side. Given that he's unsure to which side the Talmud Chacham is coming, and he wants to go participate in that Talmud Chacham shir. And he says, "Im b'chacham lemizrach." If the chacham ends up coming to the east side, aruva lemizrach, my erev should be on the east side. Lemar, if he ends up coming up to the west side, aruva lemar, my erev should be to the west side. Vilul kan al kan. But let's say he made a condition that if the talmid chacham coming to both places, he should be able to go to whichever side he decides on Shabbos he wants to participate. That means there's going to be a Talmud Chacham coming to the east side, and a Talmud Chacham coming to the west side, and he says, I'll decide which side I want to go to on Shabbos. That is unacceptable. Vavinabo. And understanding this halacha, we asked, Mashna l'kan l'kan loy. Why, when we have two Talmud Chacham coming to the east side and to the west side, Is it unacceptable? The embrayer. Because we say that you only want to decide on Shabbos which Erev should be effective, which would mean that you want it to be retroactively effective. And that's why we see that for that it cannot work, because embrayer. Ask the Gemara, Mizruch Marav Nami embrayer. So then why, if a person put down two Erevin to the east side and to the west side, because he was unsure to which side the Talmud Chacham was coming, and then when the Talmud Chacham ends up coming up to the either side, then we say the Erev is effective. If Reb Yochanan, if the Gemara is saying that we're not subscribing to Breira, so then we should make a difference if there's two Talmud Chachamim or one Talmud Chacham. Now the Gemara here understands that the Talmud Chacham did not arrive until after nightfall. But how could he only have come after nightfall? He also is not allowed to walk past the Erev. So Rashi and Tosfos explain, this would be able to be done in a case in which he's already within 2,000 amah of where he wanted to be when night fell, or even if he was 4,000 amahs of that area, he would still be able to arrive there with a special dispensation, which discussed Masechta Erevin for a traveler. The Mishnah, the Gemara says Masechta Erevin, that if the person wasn't able to put an Erev, he's traveling and he didn't have an Erev, but he wants to arrive to the city, if he's within 4,000 amos of the city, and he knows a marker, a tree, a house, or whatever, that's within 2,000 amos, even though he didn't physically put down an Erev, he could say, I want to designate that place as my Mokum Shvisa. Says Rashi and Taisus, that's the case here. But the Gemara is saying now, if Pshat in that Mishnah is that we're not subscribing to Breira, and that's why, when there's Erev That's why he can't put down two Erevin and decide on Shabbos which one he wants to use, which Talmud Chacham Shir he wants to go to. So then even if there's Talmud Chacham, there's only one Talmud Chacham, just he doesn't know if he's coming to the east side or to the west side, why is that Erev effective? So Rabbi Yochanan explained, the situation where there's only one Talmud Chacham coming is not when the Talmud Chacham only arrived on Shabbos. If the Talmud Chacham only arrived on Shabbos, that would involve him relying, the person who put down the Erev, relying on Breira. And we don't rely on Breira. What happened here is that the Talmud Chacham came from before Shabbos. He just didn't find out about it until Shabbos. But this doesn't rely on any retroactive chalois, and that's why we can say the Erev is effective. But Alma, so here we see less letter Rabbi Yochanan Breira, even by Tchumim, which is Rabbanon, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't subscribe to Breira. Tosfos points out that actually this is not the same type of a situation as normal. Because normally when we speak about Breira is where I am in control of the situation, and Breira will help me retroactively make it effective. Here, it's not the person himself who put down the Erev that's in control. It's the Talmud Chacham who's in control. So why is this not different? So Taisha says, from here we see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if we do or don't accept Breira, it makes no difference if it's something that's in my control or in the control of someone else. Another pshat that we should say that this is not totally a situation which is out of my control. Because when the person put down the Erev, he said, I'm going to put down the Erev to decide the Talmud Chacham comes, or I may choose not to rely on the Erev at all. I may choose not to go to the Shir. So given that, it's not something that is completely dependent on an outside factor. Ramosha points out that even though the Gemara says in Masech the Erevin, Halacha Kamekel Be'erev, that when we have a Shaila and Hilchas Erevin, we always go Lekula. Says Rav Moshe, still, here we see that doesn't allow us to apply Breira. If we don't hold of the concept of Breira, even by Erevin, where we are normally Mekel, we cannot apply it. Ella says the Gemara Lailan Loi Tepech. We should not reverse the dinim attributed to Rav Moshe and to Rav Yochanan. Rather, what we should say is Rabbi Yoshe does subscribe to Breira at certain times. Chiles le Rabbi Yoshe Breira. When does Rabbi Yoshe hold a Breira? By the Raisa, by the case of Tuma, which was a Shaila of the Raisa. Avod Rabbanon, when it comes to Hilchas Rabbanon, Islay, he does hold a Breira. And Darish Mazutra, and that said Mazutra, Allah Rabbi Yoshe, the Allah is like Rabbi Yoshe. There's a Machloikis Mefarshim, when the Gemara says here, that by a deraisa, we don't hold the breira. There are two ways of understanding this psak. The Ran explains it, that since by a deraisa we always machmer, that's why by a deraisa we say em breira. By a derabonim we mekel, and that's why by a derabonim we do say breira. The Yamsha Shloima, however, says, this psak of the Gemara, that by a deraisa we don't hold the breira, has nothing to do because we're machmer in Hilchus deraisa. Rather, says the Yamshal Shloima, this is what Chazal established being the din. What would be the nafgamina between the Ran and the Yamshal Shloima? It'll be in a situation where we have where it's a chumra to say breira. According to the Ran, under that circumstances, we would say breira. According to the Yamsha Shloima, under such circumstances, we would not say Breira, because we never say Breira by the Raisa, whether it's a Chumra or a Kula. Om Shmuel, says Shmuel, Shor Shalpetem, the acts of a person who's in the business of fattening up oxen and making them fat and then sold to customers, Harei and Karagli Adam, they have the status of the tchum of any person who purchased that axe. Why? So the Rishonim explain, this person who fattens up axes is one who sells them. And when Yontif begins, he knows that this will not necessarily remain with him. Rather, he understands that this will go to whoever purchases it, and that's why from before Yontif, this animal never obtained the same tchum as the owner, as the person who owned it at the beginning of Yontif. Ask the Rishonim. Shmuel is the one that's holding that Shor Shapat Amrei Kregel Ka'odam, which obviously depends on Breira. Breira tells us that retroactively the person who purchased this animal owned it from before Yontif. Ask the Rishonim, but we learned in the previous year that Shmuel doesn't subscribe to Breira. So the Baal Amar answers that Shmuel does accept the principle of Breira in the case where the animal is to be sold by owner. Since the owner has every intention of doing so, this is his business, therefore he will agree that Breira is effective. He only said in the case of partners who must divide an animal or wine, because since they may not be able to agree on how to divide it, that's where he doesn't subscribe to Breira. But other Rishonim explain that the halacha is that there's heftzei hefker. Ownerless objects become what is their status on Yontif Shabbos regarding Tchum. So the Rabbanan hold that ownerless objects have the Tchum of the person who picks them up. Explain the Rishonim. That when the Petem has an animal which he knows he's going to sell, so he is like he's mafka this animal. It becomes like an ownerless object because he knows that on Yontif there's going to be a real true owner who will obtain it, and therefore the animal has the tchum of that owner. And the Ran explains that specifically in Hilchos Erevin, which depends on Das, it depends on where the person decides that this is going to be the place I will reside on Shabbos Yontif, is it very relevant to follow Hilchos Tchum, the Hilchos Tchum depend on the owner, and depend not just on the owner, but depends on the Das. So here with the Patam, had the Das that the purchaser will receive it on Yontif, it's the purchaser who has control, not the seller. Continues the Gemara, Shor Shel Roya, the Shor of a shepherd, Harei Karagli Yosir. And the Rishonim explain, shepherds do not sell animals at the same volume or to the same large amount of customers as a patam. Generally, the only person who will buy a shor from a roya is the people who live in that city. He's not a well-known animal merchant. Given that that's the case, explained the Rishonim, so it's not the whole world that may be potential customers, and therefore, the way we explained it a moment ago, he's mafka the shor to the whole world. The Roya is only mafka the shor to the people in that city, and therefore the Erev, the tchum of the animal, cannot be past the tchum of that city. Does machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean karagli I say here? Does it mean the tchum of the city, or does it mean the most stringent tchum of any person in the city? Meaning, as we said before, if a person makes an Erev to the east side, he can't walk to the west side. If he makes an Erev to the west side, he can't walk to the east side. So if we'll have people in the city, some made to the east side, some made to the west side, and since every person in the city is a potential customer of these animals, of this Shor Shel Roya, we will give this animal the most stringent position, and it will not be able to walk only to the most limited amount of area given to anybody in the city. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "Ashal keli mechaverim erev yontif." If somebody borrows a keli from somebody else in erev yontif, it's considered like the borrower's and has the tchum of the borrower. Ask the Marpshita. Obviously, it's the borrower's. It was his. Bein hashmashes. Says the Gemara, "Letzricha." He only actually gave it over to the barrow after Yontif began. I would say since it wasn't in the borrower's possession at the beginning of Yontif, at Bein Hashmashes, and therefore it should follow the lender's tchum, not the borrower's. Kamash Malan, that's why the Mishnah teaches us that we follow the borrower. Since they had agreed that he's going to receive it, it's considered like his already. In other words, the Rosh Hashanah explained, we don't follow the regular Hilchus Kinyonim, that a person to be considered an owner had to take possession. Here, this agreement is enough. If somebody borrows a utensil from his friend before Yontif, even though it was actually delivered until Yontif began, it's already considered like it's the borrower's, and we follow the borrower's tchum. Yontif, if he borrowed the utensil on Yontif, karaga hamashal, there follows the lender. Again, asking Marpshita. Here, certainly, it was in the lender's possession before Yontif, and as Yontif began. We're dealing with a situation where this person usually borrows this keli from the lender. So we say that the lender already assigned it to the borrower, since he expects the borrower to take it. Kamash Malan teaches the Mishnah, Meima Amar, the lender says, since this person did not come before Yontif to borrow it, Dilma Mashkich Enish Achrina, he perhaps found a different person, Vazvel Shalminai, whom he borrowed it from, and therefore he assumes that this utensil will remain with him, the lender, and even though ultimately the borrower does come on Yontif, since he didn't expect that he should come, he didn't anticipate that, it doesn't become the borrower's and doesn't follow the borrower's tchum. The Ken Isha Shalom Chaverta, the mission discussed a woman who borrowed from a friend water, salt, to add to the dough. So we learned in the Mishnah that now we have a dough which is made up of flour of one woman, water, salt of the other woman, that this new dough could only be carried to the tchum that's common to both of these people. Kisolik Rababa. Rababa went to Yisrael, Omar. He said, Yei Rava, he said a tefillah, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help the Eimim Milsa Tiskabel, that I should say something that will be accepted by the Talmidei Chachamim in Yisrael. As the Macheshes explains, the Derech HaLimud, the way of learning in Eretz Yisrael, was very different than the way of learning in Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara says in Masechet Bava Metzia, the Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael would be much more direct, much more blunt in their Derech HaLimud. Marcheshe says this in his Hagdama, when the Derech HaLimud of Rav Chaim Briska was introduced in Lithuania. So he was saying that Rav Abba, realizing that he was coming from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and the Derech HaLimud in Bavel was different than the Derech HaLimud in Eretz Yisrael, so he said a tefillah that I should be zoicha, that even though I have a different Derech HaLimud, the people in Eretz Yisrael should accept my Derech. Another pshat that I saw is Reb Abba was a well-known person in Bavel. He knew he's going to come to Eretz Yisrael, he'll say shir, he'll say divrei Torah, they'll certainly be accepted. But he didn't want what he said, the divrei Torah that he's going to say, should be accepted because of him, because it's Rabbi Abba. He wanted they should be accepted because of their own value, that they were worthy divrei Torah. Yehi Rava, the Eima Milsa, that the words that I say, not the person saying the words, rather the words that are being said, the divrei Torah that are being said, should be worthy to tiskabel, that they should be accepted by the Talmidei Chachamim Eretz Yisrael. The Klaus Magreb has a different approach to this Gemara. He says, we find many times in Shas, the Rabbi Abba was concerned that he shouldn't go to Gehenim, and therefore he was mispalel that his Divrei Torah should be accepted, and that should be a schus for him to be able to have Gan Eden. Kisolix, when he arrived in Yisrael, Ashkel Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Papa, Rabbi Zera, Ramla, Rabbi Avu, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Paz, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Vyasi, Vakamri, they were sitting and learning. And they asked, Amai, why now Mishnah do we restrict this dough to the common tchum of the both people who contributed to making the dough? Levetel, mayim ha-melech l'gabisa. Why don't we say that the water and the salt, which is certainly insignificant, should become bottle? We have many times in halacha the concept of bittul, nullification. It should become nullified and it should follow the one who contributed the flour. Ask Tysus that we have a concept that we've discussed in this Masechta many times, of a Dovah Shesh L'Materim, something that would ultimately become mutter, doesn't become bottle. So as Taisvis, this will become bottle, this will become mutter after Yontif anyway. Tchum is only an issue on Shabbos Yontif. So how can we say it should become bottle? So Tosfos answers that this concept of something that's a Dovah Shesh L'Matirim doesn't become bottle is only min b'minoi, by like items. Given here that we're dealing with salt and water versus flour, which are not the same, that's why, even though it's a Dovah Shesh L'Matirim, it could become bottle. Another Tosfos gives. Tosfos says that when can we say that a Dovah Shesh L'Matirim doesn't become bottle? When we're following the Tam, we're saying that we look at the taste. So we say Dovah Shesh L'Matirim doesn't become bottle. Here it's not an issue of taste. Here it's an issue of ownership, and therefore even if it's a Dovah Shesh L'Matirim, it should become bottle. And along the same lines, many Rishonim explain that even though we know that normally for Bittel to be effective, we have to have Shishim. One item has to be 60 times greater than the other item. Here, the Gemara doesn't look for Shishim, because here we're looking at significance. And given, as say the Rishonim, is the Gemara's Kasha, that since the water and the salt, even if they're not a 60 to 1 ratio, but still are the insignificant portion in this dough, they should become nullified, and we should follow the person who owns the flour. Amalar Baba. So Rabbi Abba said to them, Hareshnes Avla Kav Chitin Basar Kav Mechitin Shel Chaveroi. If somebody had a kav of one wheat, and his one kav of wheat became mixed together with 10 kavin of his friend's wheat, Yola Halova Chadi, can the person who had owned the 10 kavin be happy that he has an extra kav? Of course not, because one kav doesn't belong to him, and he has to reimburse the person who owns that one calf. Meaning, explain Rashi and Tosfos, that although there are concept of bittel, by issa v'heter we say bittel. Here we're talking about a financial ownership, and a monetary ownership never becomes bottle. Just like if somebody's one calf of chitin fell into somebody else's 10 calf of chitin. Explain Tosfos that even though at first glance, and it's more than first glance, we'll see later in the Gemara more than that, Tchumim is an issue of Issa v'Heter, am I allowed to go somewhere, or am I not allowed to go somewhere? It's based on financial ownership, it's based on Kinyan Shvisa, what do I own, where was my property at the beginning of Yontev, where was I Kinyan Shvisa, and that's why Tchumim explains Tosfos in explaining the Gemara is a concept of mominus, and here Rabbi Abba tells us that mominus never gets bottled. But the Pesach can point out that when we say a financial interest doesn't become nullified, doesn't mean that it doesn't become nullified at any level. For example, I saw a shaila. Let's say somebody had bought went to the store to buy 3 hadassim for his lulav. He comes home and he sees 4 hadassim. Now we know that he only bought 3, so one of those hadassim is not his. So may he use the three of the hadassim, or we say since one of them is not his, and our Gemara just taught us that a financial stake never becomes nullified, he shouldn't be allowed to use any of the hadassim. So the Pesach can say, of course he'll be allowed to use 3 hadassim. He'll just have to pay back for the 4th one. Achikolei. So they laughed at Reb Abba's answer. Amalahu, so Rabbi Abba said, Gulusa Shikaili, have I taken your coats that you laugh at me? Hada Chikulei, so they laughed at him again. So Mefarshim explained, the Chasam Sofer explains this Gemara very interesting way. He says, we have many times in Shas, says the Chasam Sofer, that Tamid Chachamim, Amaroim, Tanoim ask each other questions, but we don't find that they start laughing at each other, and why does the Gemara have to tell us all these details? Says the Chasam Sofer, the reason the Gemara reports this is because the Gemara says, the Gemara wants to teach us a lesson. The Gemara says that Rav Abba began with a tefillah, Yehi Rava, it's Ayim Amnils Deskabel. And the Gemara is saying that Rav Abba's tefillah was inappropriate because it seemed that he was more concerned about gaining recognition through them accepting his Divrei Torah than just trying to come to the Emes. And the Chasam Sofer says that's inappropriate. What he should have been doing is ask that his Divrei Torah should be, that the Torah, the truth, the truth should come out, not anything else. By him asking for something else, he did something that was inappropriate, and that's why he ended up that they should laugh at him. And the Chasam Sofer continues to explain. He says that we know that the history of Torah Shabbat was that originally Torah Shabbat Ksav, Dvar Shabbat Peh, Yata Rishoyim L'Kosvam. One was not allowed to commit Dvar Shabbat Peh to writing. However, in the time of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, when he saw that people did not have the ability anymore to remember Divrei Torah Ba'peh, Eis Lasis Lashem Hefer Torah Secha, and they decided that because of that, Torah could be written. However, says the Chasam Sofer, it's only a person who does it L'Shem Shemayim. Eis Lasis Lashem. If his kavod is L'Shem Shemayim, that's when Hefer Torah Secha Divrei Torah that Dvar Shabbat allowed to be written. But if somebody writes Divrei Torah for his own kavod, then there's an issur to write Dvar Shabbat Peh. And in fact, this is the basis that some Mechaber Sfarim, some authors of Sfarim, never put their name in the Sefer. Because here we see, according to the Chasam Sofer, we're only allowed to write Divrei Torah. We're only allowed to write Divrei Torah L'Shem Shemayim. If there's a personal kavod involved, it's you have the issa of Dvar Shabbat Peh, Yata Rishah L'Kaisvam, and that's why they didn't put down their names, that there should be no issue that they were doing it for kavod. However, the Mefarshim point out that even though here our Gemara seems to be looking somewhat negatively at what Rabbi Abba did, many times in Shas we find the Gemara speak about Rabbi Niseinu Shaber Tisrael. Who are Rabbi Niseinu Shaber Tisrael? Rabbi Abba. So even though Rabbi Abba maybe had a weak start, ultimately the Talmid Chacham of Tisrael did come to recognize who Rabbi Abba was. Om Rabbi Ishi. Rabbi Ishi said, Shapa Avdu Dachikala. It was appropriate. They did the right thing when they laughed at him. Because when Rabbi Abba wanted to point out, says Rabbi Ishiya, that the reason the Mayim Melech did not become bottle is because there's a financial issue here, and a financial stake never becomes nullified. So why did he pick a case of Chitim B'Chitim? Maishna Chitim B'Sarim D'Loi Kamalhu. Why didn't Rabbi Abba speak a case that if somebody had a pound of wheat that got mixed into 10 pounds of barley, the Havaleh, where we have a situation where the two items are not the same, or mimbish enemy bottle. And the halach is that everybody agrees that it seems that that he's going to hold that if they're not the same, they will become bottle. Chitin b'chitin. So even in a case when we have wheat and wheat, yes, Rabbi Yehuda holds the min b'minoi never becomes bottle, and we'll explain in a moment why. There's a machlokes throughout Shas. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minoi, two same types don't become bottle, one and the other, no matter what the ratios are. The Rabbanan hold they do become bottle. The reason for Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara Masechta Menachos says, because the pasuk says by the avoid on Yom Kippur, v'lokim edam apar v'edam asoyer, we take the blood of the axe and the blood of the goat, and we mix them together. The amount of blood in a goat is so much less than the amount of blood in an axe. Doesn't it become bottle? Says Rabbi Yehuda, from here we see Mimbishen Amina, since one's a goat and one's an axe, bloy bottle. So now the Gemara is questioning. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanan, Mifta bottle. So according to Rabbi Rabbanan, even by Mimbiminoi, it does become nullified. So now we have to understand. Rabbi Oisha points out that what Rabbi Abba said doesn't make sense, because if for whatever reason Rabbi Abba is willing to accept that nullification of the ownership takes place when wheat falls into barley, and that's why he didn't speak about a case of wheat falling into barley, so then it should accept that it takes place when wheat falls into wheat. If he holds that wheat and barley will become bottle, even though it's an issue of ownership, then it should be the same by wheat to wheat. If he doesn't hold that ownership becomes bottle, if he holds that ownership can never become nullified, so why did Dafka speak about a case of wheat and wheat? He could speak about wheat and barley. The fact that he specifically spoke about wheat to wheat means that he's making a distinction. But if his pshat is that ownership never becomes nullified, why does he draw that distinction? Amalei Rav Safra. So Rav Safra said, Moshe Shapakamrik. And the way Moshe Rishonim explained the Gemara is he said, I swear in the name of Moshe that Rav Abba said the right thing and you shouldn't laugh at him. Others explained that Moshe, he was the Gadol Hador like Moshe Rabbeinu and Shapakamrik, and he's saying the right thing. Others explain that whenever we come to a difficult Gemara, we mention Moshe Rabbeinu's name, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rabbi in Shekhar Yisrael, and that will help us by mentioning his name understand the Gemara. L'shmila had Amr Avchir k'ot tesvah m'shmei d'Rav habayrut tzroyrus m'groinu shel chaveroi. The loch is that when one sells wheat to someone else, there are naturally pebbles and dust in the barrel of wheat. And if one sells the wheat that way, he isn't considered that he cheated his buyer. Because that's the way wheat comes. But let's say someone will come and pull out those pebbles. The person now has to reimburse him for the value of wheat. He pulled out pebbles. He didn't pull out wheat. The answer is that we look at what he caused them to lose. He was going to sell this barrel as it was 100% wheat. When he pulls out the pebbles, he can't replace the pebbles that were pulled out with pebbles. That would be outright cheating. What must he do? He must replace those pebbles with wheat. So since he was mastered him wheat, the value of wheat, that's what he has to pay it. Alma kilachesre, since he has to reimburse him the value of wheat, which he removed the amount of pebbles that he removed. Since he has to be replaced with wheat, it has to reimburse him the value of wheat. Hachanami, here too, when we look at the water and salt, kilachasre, that's part of the measure here. And therefore, that even though they're negligible, and even though they should become bottle, since they're inherently part of this mixture, they don't become bottle. And that was what Rav Abba was saying. So why are you laughing at him? Amalabaya. So Abaya says, for Lashana Lamar, can't we draw a distinction between money that has that there's an owner to money that there is no owner, there is no claimant to? And explains the Mefarshim. This wheat with the pebbles, so there's an owner to the wheat. And when somebody takes out the pebbles, he's causing that owner a financial loss. And that's why they don't become bottle. However, this flour, water, and salt that someone borrowed from me, he doesn't have to pay me back till after Yontif. Since he doesn't have to pay me back till after Yontif, there is no owner. Even though there's an ownership, but there is no owner who has a financial claim today on Yontif. And perhaps, therefore, it should become bottle. Amalei, so he said to him, if you're going to draw, it says, Rav Safra to Abaya, you're trying to draw a distinction between money to which there is a claim versus money that there is no claim. Hodam Rav Chesda, and again, we go back to what we learned before in the name of Yehuda. So Yehuda said, min b'minoi, two like things don't become bottle. Min b'she'ene minoi, two unlike things do become bottle. So in identifying, is something a mimba minoi or something mimba she'ena minoi? Hadam Rav Chisda, nevela b'teila b'shchuta. If we have nevela meat and regularly good shachtan meat, the halach is if the most of the meat is shchuta, the nevela becomes bottle in it. It's considered a situation of min b'she'ena minoi. And explains the Gemara why. Levishi efshel shchuta shetias nevela. Shchuta, which is the majority of the meat here, it can never become nevela. Nevela meat is metame. Shchuta meat is not metame. And since the majority, the shrutamit, can never become nevela, that's why it's treated, even though they look identical physically, they're considered like unlike minim, min b'minoi. And they become, and the nevela becomes batel neshruta. What is that regarding halacha? That if somebody touches any piece of meat here, he's tahor, because even though he might have touched the nevela meat, and nevela meat is metame, it becomes batel neshruta. Shruta, ene b'teil b'nevela. However, if the majority of meat is nevela, and there's a piece of shruta that falls into this mixture, it doesn't become batel. Lefi, she'efshel nevela shetasa shruta. It's possible that nevela meat should get the status of shruta. Why is it possible that nevela meat should get the status of shruta? Because the halacha is that when it deteriorates, that it's no longer edible, it doesn't have the status of nevela anymore. So what do we see here? And again, what's the relevance to halacha? The relevance to halacha is that if the nevela, since if the majority of the meat here is nevela, but you have one piece of shruta, and we're saying that the shruta does not become batel, so if somebody touches a piece of meat, there's always a possibility that he touched the shruta meat. It's a suffik, and it'll be a din of suffik tumah, which we know that the special dinim, suffik tumah rishus hayachid is tameh, suffik tumah rishus rabim is tar. So ask the Gemara, hachinami, here too, are you going to say that the nevela meat, if it has an owner, it doesn't become batel? We don't see that he draws a distinction between if the nevela meat has an owner or not. Abaye said that hilchus bittel, do we or don't we say nullification, depends if there's an owner to this property, to this item or not. Ask the Mashah, we speak about bittel so many times in Shas. Why only over here does the Gemara decide to ask this question? So Gemara says, because since we're speaking about shruta, slaughtered pieces of meat certainly have owners, and that's why if Abaye says that something that has an owner doesn't become batel ever, how could the Gemara there discuss nevela and shruta becoming batel or not? V'chi teima, and even if you'll say hachinami, that owned things cannot become nullified, for Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Benuri, Cheftze Hefker, an ownerless object, Kanin Shvisa, they received their Mokim Shvisa is where they were Benish Moses. Apishel and Balam, even though nobody owned them Benish Moses. Doimim, because the Halacha views these objects, Kamishel and Balam. So since we see that even a Hefkerdiga object has a Tchum of its own, the Tchum of an object certainly cannot become nullified. And as Tosfos explains, even though we hold not like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and we don't hold the Cheftze Hefker Kohen Shvisa, but we do see from here, explains Tosfos, that as far as Hilchos Tchumim, the lack of ownership doesn't make a difference in Hilchos Tchumim. So if you're saying that every item that's owned cannot become nullified, so therefore, the water and the salt in our Mishnah don't become nullified, even though the owner doesn't have any claim to them on Shabbos Yontif, because he doesn't expect to get paid back till after Yontif. As far as Hilchos Tchumim, which has a very broad application of ownership, it should not be considered owned. So now the Gemara takes all of a sudden a twist, the way most Rishonim explain. Amalei, we've been explaining that why should these Mayim and Melech not become bottle, because it's depending on ownership, and ownership never becomes bottle. Mikam Adam says Surlam and Minor. We're not talking about ownership, we're talking about Tchumim, which is a Shiloh of Issa Heter. And we know Isur bottle. There is a concept of bottle. But Minor, ownership, financial stake like bottle. So if we're dealing with Issa, comes back to Gemara to its original question. Why isn't the Mayim and Melech bottle? Tamamai, why is the Mayim HaMelech not bottle? Abaye Amos, so answers Abaye, Gzeres Shematas Yisuv Shutfas. True, if somebody only contributed water and salt, and the other person contributed the flour, it should become bottle. But we're concerned that what happens if they both give equal amounts of all ingredients, there one isn't going to become bottled to the other. So Chazal said that in all cases we treat the situation stringently. Rav Amar, tavlo tami vidi, salt, spices are made for taste, but tamale bottle, and that never becomes nullified. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had to review the terutzim of Abaye and Rava. According to Rashi, Abaye and Rava aren't arguing. Abaye is talking about water and salt that are put into a dough, and Rava is speaking about spices that are put into a cooked item. According to Tosfos, there are two separate terutzim. Abaye is speaking about a dough, but the same thing is regarding something cooked, that we're always concerned that there may be a situation where they both gave equal amount of ingredients, and that's why Chazal made this rule. And Rava, although he speaks about spices, the same thing would be water and salt in a dough, since they are crucial ingredients, they don't become bottled. Rav Ashi Amar, Rashi says a different reason why water and salt don't become bottled. Ultimately, this will become mutter. After Shabbos Yontif, there is no issue of tchum. It never becomes bottled. Ask Tosfos that at the beginning of this sugya we said that we don't treat this like a davar sheyesh lamatirin. And now we say that we are treating it like a davar sheyesh lamatirin. So Tosfos says two trutzim. One Teretz Tosfos says that tchum is different than anything else. We're more stringent by Hilchas Tchumim. And another Teretz Tosfos says that given that water and salt are such crucial ingredients in the dough, they make the dough rise, and otherwise, without water, without these ingredients, you cannot have the dough. That's why we do apply the halach of Davar Sheyesh Lamatirin according to Rav Ashi, and it doesn't become bottled.